So I heard while I was away, the day before yesterday, Bonnie Henry had some kind of a press conference. And during the press conference, a reporter asked her what she was going to do about taking away the license of doctors who write vaccine exemptions. I haven't seen that actual press conference. Is it true? Did some reporter ask that? Oh, wow. So, you know, someone needs to get me the name of that reporter and what journalism school he or she graduated from. Because you know what? I need to talk to the dean of that university. They shouldn't be graduating people from journalism school until they start to learn how to ask questions. Because she could have emailed me, she could have phoned me, and she could have asked me why I was writing vaccine exemptions. Because I would have told her. I write vaccine exemptions for cancer. Anyone in your family has a history of cancer, I'll write you a vaccine exemption. Nobody knows how much cancer this new injection will cause. Because it takes 20 years to find out any new drug, any new therapy, it takes 20 years to find out how much cancer it will cause. And then I know there's some pseudoscientists who claim they know the science, who will say, well, I can't prove that it doesn't cause cancer. But let me talk to you about theoretical science, because I did microbiology and physiology at McGill. So if any of you are listening, all these pseudoscientists who think this vaccine is safe, let me educate you on microbiology and cell biology. So in the human genome, there are retrotransposons, and retrotransposons contain endogenous reverse transcriptase. That means anything that's mRNA or RNA, if it gets inside one of your cells, it's just a matter of luck whether or not that cell reverse transcribes that mRNA back into DNA. I will repeat. Every cell in the body has retrotransposons. Every retrotransposon encodes a protein called reverse transcriptase. This is not the reverse transcriptase that's a part of HIV. This is human reverse transcriptase. So anyone who tells you that mRNA cannot change your DNA is absolutely wrong. So the worst part of this is human endogenous reverse transcriptase is most active during embryogenesis, when you're still a fetus. And then it gradually decreases in activity as your development through embryogenesis, birth, infancy, childhood, teenage years. So the people most at risk of DNA changes from an mRNA vaccine are people who are still developing. Then that's children. Children are most at risk for genetic DNA changes from an mRNA vaccine, because children have more endogenous human reverse transcriptase activity than fully grown adults, because they're still growing. The other mechanism of cancer that can be caused, especially when you give children an mRNA vaccine, is immune lack of specificity. Because this mRNA vaccine is telling cells to produce a non-human protein, the spike protein. Why on earth are you giving children whose immune systems are still developing and learning to tell the difference between good cells in the body and bad cells in the body, why are you telling the cells inside a child's body to produce a non-human protein? And what that will do from a basic immunology point of view, and I am really, really upset at the number of doctors and immunologist specialists who should know what I'm talking about, who are not speaking up. I have a message for those immunologists and pediatric specialists. You better listen and you better remember all the stuff you learned in medical school, because this is why you were taught that. During development, during childhood, the body's immune system has to differentiate between normal cells that are supposed to be present in the body and abnormal cells. If you give the child's body, the cells in that child's body, an abnormal protein and tell those cells to start manufacturing toxic, non-human spike proteins, then there's a good chance that that child's immune system, which is still developing, might say, oh, there's nothing wrong with the body's own cells producing non-human proteins. And so what that will do is 10 years, 20 years, maybe even 30 years later, when eventually through living, sometimes hard work, stress, being exposed to chemicals, when one of those child's cells mutates, and what the immune system should do is recognize the mutated cells that's, you know, that hasn't had a healthy diet, or maybe that cell ate too much McDonald's or something, it should eliminate that cell because it's not producing normal proteins. But if 20 years earlier that child got a spike protein vaccination, that immune system might not be able to recognize the cancerous cell anymore, because that immune system got used to seeing normal cells produce abnormal proteins. So that increases the risk of cancer. So now we're at two reasons why mRNA injections can cause cancer, especially when given to children. One is retrotransposons and reverse transcriptase. The second is immune lack of specificity. Just when a child's immune system should be learning how to make the fine differentiation between cancerous and non-cancerous, you're poisoning that child's immune system with an abnormal non-human spike protein. But wait, there's a third reason why these injections might cause cancer, especially in children. Children's bodies, the cells in their bodies, should only be making proteins for growth and regular daily cell activities. So when you give cells of the body instructions to produce abnormal proteins, those cells are not producing the normal growth proteins and normal daily activity proteins. One of the most important cells in the body for both adults and children is something, a class of proteins called heat shock proteins. If you drink too much alcohol, don't get enough sleep, too cold, too hot, exposed to toxic substances, the cells of the body create heat shock proteins, and that enables the cell to survive chemicals, heat stress, toxic stresses. If the cells of your body are busy producing spike proteins instead of heat shock proteins, which also have anti-cancer properties, they prevent DNA damage. If the cells are busy producing spike proteins, they're not producing the cell's own proteins that the cell uses to protect itself against toxins, stress, and DNA damage. So that's a third reason why spike proteins will increase your chances of cancer. If you don't think there's evidence for that out there already for this, one of the advisories when Russia released its own coronavirus vaccine was anyone who took the vaccine should not drink alcohol for 2 weeks. And that's a big problem, because that means whatever was in their coronavirus vaccine caused enough metabolic stress that if someone drank alcohol within 2 weeks of their vaccine, they would be causing serious damage to their bodies. And that's only in 2 weeks. We're not even looking at 20 years yet. So the biggest possible crime I can imagine right now, here today, is trying to give this mRNA injection to children. There's three molecular and cellular biology reasons not to. And every single one of those three reasons increases the chances of cancer. So if this reporter's listening, phone me, send me an email. I will give you an interview and educate you about cancer and this injection. No one should be forced to take something where the cancer risk is unknown that doesn't even work. And I know the College of Physicians and Surgeons, Vancouver Coastal Health, and Bonnie Henry will get out there and say the vaccine works. Well, it doesn't. If a vaccine worked, you wouldn't need a vaccine passport. If this worked, there wouldn't be a fourth wave. Should I talk more about molecular biology? Because I'd love to. So, the stupidest idea you could possibly have for a vaccine is to make a vaccine against just one protein on the surface of a virus. That is the worst, stupidest microbiological idea ever. Because if it's just one protein, the virus is like, hey, I'm going to change the color of my socks, I'm going to change that one protein, and then, hey, I'm back in business. Now, natural immunity, when you have antibodies to the entire virus, to all the different parts of the virus, it's very difficult for a virus to avoid natural immunity. That's why you never ever heard about variants of the influenza being a problem. It's always a different strain next year that's completely different from the strain that was in previous years. That's because natural immunity has multiple different antibodies to multiple different parts of the virus. So for a virus to change and defeat the antibodies, it has to change everything about itself. So this whole, from the get-go, this whole idea that making a spike protein to stimulate an antibody to just one part of the virus, it's doomed to failure. They need to stop it. The scientists need to stop claiming that this vaccine works, because it doesn't. The proof is in the numbers. The proof is in the theory. So I hope they're listening. And if they want to come debate me, send me an email. I would love to have a debate with any scientist that wants to challenge me on anything I've spoken about today. Thank you very much for listening. My email is dnagase@protonmail.com. I'll take a couple questions. Anyone have a quick question? Yes. Absolutely. So the question was, should you be exempt if you already have antibodies? Absolutely. That is way better than a vaccine. And in fact, some of the latest research shows that people who are already immune because they had a natural coronavirus infection, if they get the vaccine, their immunity, their natural immunity actually gets decreased. Yeah, another question here.
You mentioned about having a family history of cancer. How can we get an exemption from you or another doctor for that reason?
Send me an email to dnagase@protonmail.com, and then I'll collect basic information about you, family history, past medical history, and we'll have a phone visit, and then we'll go from there. Okay.